handling aggressive mental suggestion. It is not so much our lack of understanding that makes aggressive mental suggestion hard to handle, but it is the unwillingness of the human mind to yield its belief in evil. The more aggressive these suggestions are, the more mesmeric they seem to be. They at times seem to take possession of our thinking. We all know how unwilling mortal mind is to yield its belief of lack, fear, war, pain, sickness, old age, or death. Mortal mind says, quote, "These things are so because I see, feel, and experience these things, and therefore they must be real." Close quote. And yet, all these things mortal mind sees, feels, and experiences as real are just mental suggestions and are as substanceless as the mirage of water on the highway ahead of the motor car. We all know how persistent mortal mind is in its belief that there is no activity in business. Mortal mind says, and says it emphatically, "Why, there is no business," and then proceeds to mesmerize itself with self-made mental conditions. It says, "Under these circumstances, it is impossible for business to operate." Yes, mortal mind makes and sees and feels and experiences its own no business. And when we try to turn away from these falsities, we see how unwilling mortal mind is to accept the truth that business, being divinely mental, is therefore always active and always good. We all know how mortal mind persists in its belief that there is inability, incapacity, insufficiency, and incompleteness. But the most unyielding mesmerism of mortal mind is its belief that there is a selfhood apart from God. Its belief that individual man is a person, a corporeal, material mortal with life and intelligence within himself. Its belief that mortals can rob each other and hinder each other and displace each other and think evilly of each other and disturb and control each other's mentalities, thereby producing inharmonious conditions on the body. Mortal mind's self-love seems adamant. Is it any wonder Jesus said, quote, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself," close quote. These aggressive mental suggestions, if accepted as real, always leave a marked effect on us individually. They not only dull our thinking, but they cause us to become negative, sleepy, and indifferent to things in general. When we hold to the mortal mind suggestions that we have a material, personal existence and a personal, restricted mind with which to apprehend all that is, we at once lose our standard of divine science and cease to apprehend all from the standpoint of divine mind and through divine mind. Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health, quote, "If mortal mind knew how to be better, it would be better," close quote. One of the chief functions of Christian Science is to inform mortal mind, or this personal mind, how to be better. We, who are enlightened with divine science, know how to be better. And instead of being a stiff-necked and rebellious people, clinging tenaciously to the testimony of the senses, we should turn from these suggestions and demonstrate the spiritual facts of existence. The way to do this is, first, to realize the omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience of perfection. Then, from this standpoint of the all of perfection, we let our affirmations and denials reduce that which claims to be a person with a belief of sin or sickness to a belief without an identity. Then, we inform this belief that it is only a finite, imperfect concept of a reality at hand. We are willing to give up the belief, and immediately we apprehend the perfect reality at hand. Students, we are free to experience the allness of good, and when we once fully understand the illusory nature of aggressive mental suggestions, that they have no power, no substance, and no place, then these suggestions will have no power over us, or anybody, or anything. They are utterly false and ungrounded. They cannot touch us unless we accept them into consciousness as real and identify them as person, power, or presence. Let us clearly understand that suggestion is not thought. It is not idea. It is not intelligence. Aggressive mental suggestions are not formed by God, mind, and are not subjectively in God, mind. But our thoughts are formed by God, mind, and therefore they cannot be touched by any evil suggestions. Suggestion or adverse thought, being no thought, having no source, cannot disturb our thinking and thereby produce discordant phenomena on our bodies. The suggestions that seem to assail us so aggressively are often undestroyed qualities in our thinking, either known or unknown. Some longing, some fear, or some belief, which, when truth and love unfold in our consciousness, are brought to the surface so that we may be delivered from them. Jesus' temptations, as recorded in the 4th chapter of Luke, cover all the aggressive mental suggestions that can ever assail us. We read, quote, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit," not by the devil, but by the Spirit, "into the wilderness," close quote. The wilderness, according to the glossary in Science and Health, is, quote, "the vestibule in which a material sense of things disappears and spiritual sense unfolds the great facts of existence," close quote. The Holy Ghost, or the unfoldment of truth and love that came to Jesus at the time of his baptism, uncovered the material sense of things which was still latent in his consciousness. And it is this material sense which the devil, or aggressive mental suggestion, claimed to use when tempting Jesus during his 40 days in the wilderness. This material sense of things was uncovered to Jesus because of his higher understanding of truth and love. But as yet, he had not demonstrated his ascension over them. The temptation, or aggressive mental suggestion, could not have touched Jesus had he risen above the material sense of things. But the temptation came because this material sense of things was still in his consciousness, undestroyed. And if temptations or aggressive suggestions seem to mesmerize us, we may rest assured that it is the Holy Ghost or unfoldment of truth and love that is uncovering and bringing to the surface some deep-seated, erroneous, and material sense of things in our consciousness that is yet undestroyed. We should not murmur or grieve or feel self-pity or be discouraged when these deeper errors are uncovered for us to destroy. Rather, should we rejoice that truth and love are unfolding in our individual consciousness and coexistently in the universal consciousness.